Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Tammy Miller.
This is Your People Beer.
We are coming to you live from Cordova, Tennessee, Butterfly Evolution, here to empower those who are willing to first acknowledge that there's a change needed and willing to do the work to make that change. We're coming to you with a different twist tonight, I guess I should say, as we embark upon relationships and talking about, and this is kind of a two-way topic for us because, again, we do not want to be labeled as kind of talking about bad boys or bashing men. So basically what we're wanting to do tonight is in talking about this topic, we want to make women think about what we are doing and the choices that we are making, that we are handing down to our young girls. Of course, these things, the decisions that we make, of course, affect our lives and how we live our lives for the rest of our lives. So in doing that, Tika and I went on we just kind of went around asking people what their definition is of a bad boy. And I, for one, am really surprised as to the difference in the definition of what people perceive a bad boy to be. And this kind of came to us because we had a 15-year-old girl ask why do women seem to pick the bad boy, so to speak. And, of course, coming from a 15-year-old, this took us by surprise. And we kind of went back to that 15-year-old saying, well, do you consider yourself as one of those women or young girls that pick the bad boys? And I know some people, the first comment to that would be, well, she's 15, why is she even worrying about picking a boy or being in a relationship? You can say that, but, you know, we have to be real about it. Young girls they are interested, as we were, in these boys. So instead of turning them away, it is our duty and our responsibility, particularly as women, to be there, answer these questions as best we know how, and be as honest as we can be in answering those questions for them. So in doing that, or in asking that question, this young lady replied to us that, yes, she felt as if she does pick the wrong boy, so to speak, in some cases. And we asked her, did she pick these boys knowingly that they have this bad boy reputation, or is it just something she finds out later? And she replied that sometimes, you know, she feels that she picks them and not always knowing that they are considered the bad boy, but sometimes she do pick the bad boy knowing that he has this reputation, but sometimes feel that people have unjustly put them in this category and that they're not always the bad boy. So basically what she's saying is she gives them a chance, only later to find out that they really are what others said that they are. But by then, the emotions, the feelings are already involved, and the young girl's heart, and sometimes the grown woman's heart, is now broken. So one of the definitions that I came across is, and I'm not saying that I would agree with all of these things, but one of the definitions that I found is a bad boy is outwardly attractive. He is unwilling to commit, offer sacrificial love in a relationship. He's immature. He's preoccupied with himself and unable to offer compassion, concern, or acceptance. Lacks character and possibly exhibits the following behaviors: lying, aloofness, which is just kind of a detachment from you, a coldness towards you, irresponsible dreaming, fear of commitment, lots of sexual partners. In addition to this, that they're sometimes addicted to substances or pornography. They're selfish, hunger for power. And again, I'm not necessarily sure that I agree with all of that because I think some of those things can be a good trait. The dreaming part, I think it's what you do about your dreams and how you make those things come true. They go on to say, not interested in true love because this requires consistent work on the bad boy's part, unwilling to sacrifice for someone or the relationship unless he is getting something in return. Probably don't have to go any further into that. I'm sure all of you kind of can relate to that. He expects that the woman should do most of the giving, but ignores her needs or takes advantage of her. And that would be from emotional needs or any other type of needs that you put in that category. So I found that to be interesting. I had some other definitions as the bad boy is the popular guy, the guy who dresses, you know, nice, has the nice car, is known as the bully, kind of speak, the hardcore guy. Those were some other definitions of a bad boy. And I think you're probably getting to the younger crowd when you hear those answers as far as a bad boy. Another interesting definition was someone who thinks they're bad, but they're really not. They portray this bad attitude when they're around their peers, but in the behind the scenes, they're just, you know, as soft as can be. So those were just kind of the interesting things. Some of the reasons or what contributes to a woman wanting to date a bad boy, we found, one, a woman just being her nature, she feels like she can fix, I can fix him, you know, that I'm better than all the others that he's had. For whatever reason, something he's going to find about me will make him want to change. I think we can say that we've all kind of fell into that category, knowingly or not knowingly, thinking that it will be different with me and that I can change him. I did also come across just a note that I think is so true and ponder on quite often, that it's noted that young girls or women that grew up as young girls or in their lifetime as a young girl, those women who were without a father or did not have a father in their life the way that a father really should be, I mean, they're emotionally, we're not talking about just the monetary father, but I think it's more important to be there emotionally for a young girl. If you don't have anything else to give to your daughter, give her your time, give her your mind, give her you, give her those talks, you know, give her those calls. Let her be her, but you be her dad and show her, first of all, that her dad loves her. Because if a woman has grown up or does grow up with the love from a father that a little girl needs, then, you know, the road is going to be bumpy anyway. I think a lot of women may not admit that, but I can assure you that when a young girl grows up without that fatherly figure, someone, some male role model in her life, it does affect the men she picks, what she allows them to do to her. And I'm not saying that the set in stone rule, but it is more so, I think, it is more so than not. So, again, we're not talking about just that money. And I think we as women need to be careful in feeling like, well, if you can't give me money or take care of my child, then you can't see them. It really is more about than the money. So that's one reason, is that the woman thinks I can fix him. The second reason is the women feel like, well, if he's pursuing me, then there's, again, something in me that makes me different, that he will want to change for me. My answer to that is, or what I want to throw out to you on that is, if a child molester pursues you, does that mean you bring them into your home over your children? So just because someone pursues you, it doesn't mean you have to go there. You have to know you. You have to know what you deserve. You have to know and put out there that this is who I am and this is what I need. And if you're not willing to meet my needs, then there's no reason to go further. And I think as women, we do sometimes fall in that category of thinking, again, I can fix him. He must really want to change because he's pursuing me now and he knows what kind of woman I am and what I want. Again, not always the case. If a man is not willing to change, and this goes both ways, but we're talking about what women seem to be picking now. But if that person is who he is and is going to be who he is for the time being, if it's not what you want or need, you need to be able to move on. The third thing is that the love or a bad boy just seems to be more exciting. Of course, we can agree that when you first start to date someone, bad boy or good boy, it seems to be a little bit more exciting when you're dating the so-called bad boy. And, again, whatever your definition of the bad boy, because, again, it differs for everyone, but that was one of the feedbacks, you know, that we got. The bad boy is so much more exciting the relationship is more exciting. And I just, my example of this, and may not be a good place to put this example, but I think about Brandon as a child. You know, as much as I love Brandon, to me he was more exciting as a child, you know, as a young child, to see him grow up. And I enjoyed seeing that. I enjoyed being able to be his mom and see him grow up. Now that he's a young man, you know, I love him the same, but it's in a different way. He's now his own person. He has his own opinion, own values. And I think in a relationship, we mistake the lack of being exciting as the person just kind of growing and still being his, being himself, so to speak. We want them, I think we a lot of times want to make them who we want them to be or what we want them to be. And then in, when you do that, I think there's a disconnect that starts to take place rather than the excitement going away. I just think that the person starts to resent you for trying to make him this person that you knew he was not before you got into the relationship. So I think there's a couple of ways to look at that as a relationship not being so exciting. So those are the things that just kind of the definition and why some women may fall into that category. Those are some of the things that we kind of came up with. We want to take your questions and comments. We did have a guest speaker, or we had a guest speaker that was going to log on tonight, and I think it would have been really interesting for you all to hear from this person. I'll share a little bit about the person, not going into too much detail, but many of you are here with us, you know, and have been since we started, and I know that you remember the statement that we talked about, the young man who says, what you want, do 100 women would. I think that was our first or second show where we talked about that. Well, we had a chance to talk to this person, and he explained why he made that comment, what he meant by that comment, and just kind of went into detail as to why men are able to make that comment. And a lot of it has to do with women and where we are in this world today, how we live our lives, what we accept. Again, we talked about a virtuous woman. All that plays into it. But if we're not being that woman, then the bad boys, so to speak, they rule the world. Whereas we should be ruling the world, you know, as far as when it comes to relationship, because, again, a man can only do what we allow them to do to us. So that's my take on it. Tika's going to come on and give you her version of it. Then we'll take questions, comments from our callers.
I believe it's basically the same thing, just what we're allowing, how we're allowing men to treat us, what we are willing to accept. And basically, I truly believe that the things that we allow and the things that we accept are, you know, when we allow a toxic relationship to form, or when we allow ourselves to become involved with someone that is clearly obvious that this is someone I shouldn't get involved with, there's a strong, a very low, to me that's a very low self-esteem. There's issues with our self-worth, and that could come, of course, to me it stems from childhood. There's areas in there of self-worth that you feel that you're lacking in, the areas that somehow you feel that this person can compensate for who you are, or that they invalidate who you are, or simply, you know, give you some type of justification in your life. And, you know, that's so mistaken, because nobody can validate you. No man can validate you, and especially not, you know, a dysfunctional or toxic relationship. So being that I agree with a lot of things that, you know, what Tammy has mentioned about the reasons we get involved with these toxic relationships and the things that we see and the things that kind of drive us to be attracted to this type of thing. First of all, I just believe it's just a low self-esteem. I don't believe, you know, that this is very clearly obvious that this is a person that's opposite of you, not in a healthy factor, but in a negative factor. So I don't believe that you can truly weave two opposite factors into unity. And I don't believe that you can weave two opposite beings into unity either. So opposites cannot become one, no matter what your efforts are, no matter what you say, opposites cannot become one. So through all of your efforts, they are truly useless, because the more you give to becoming
one to someone that you're out, your spirit is out of line with them, the more you lose self. And so just being unequally yoked is just part of what I see it.
Okay, this is Tammy. I'm going to come back on, and we're going to take some calls. I had another example that I wanted to share with you all on the part that we talked about what makes a woman want a bad boy. And we were talking about one of the choices being he pursued me, so to speak, and somehow thinking because he's pursuing you that you can change him. You have all that it takes to make him want to change and to make that change. What I want to say, another thing I wanted to say about that, and this I think is a very popular thing, I'm always amazed by, and again, I'm not trying to come down hard on anybody because, again, I think me, myself, I've been there, done that with the bad guy or being intrigued by the so-called bad boy. I'm always amazed. One thing that I'm sure many of you probably can relate to, you know, we come across guys who, I'm all for children. I love the kids. And we come across these guys who have, I'm just going to use an example, 3 babies from 3 different women. And I'm not getting to that being wrong or right, but when you meet these guys, they don't have a relationship with the children, not pursuing a relationship with the children, not providing financially for the children. And then we have a woman that decides, okay, I'm going to get pregnant. I'm going to do what we're going to do, and I'm going to get a baby. And then they're shocked when their child becomes the 4th in line. Again, no relationship with the father not contributing financially. And then somehow they look like, I don't believe I'm here. And my thing is, that's kind of like he pursued me. You have to know who's pursuing you and know you and know what you're going to put up with. And I'm always amazed by that person or that woman being shocked because, again, she has the 4th child. Now she's in the category as the 3 other women. Why are we as women shocked about that? And I think, again, because we think, oh, he's going to treat me differently. He's going to treat my baby differently. He's going to take care of my baby. And it becomes this game. And I think a lot of times the game is also played by the woman because she is trying to get some self-satisfaction of her worth through pursuing this bad guy and in hopes of making him a good guy. So that's just another example that I wanted to bring out there and share with you. We're going to take some calls. We do have a couple of people in queue that I see have selected to be able to talk. We're going to go here. I think we have Kim, Tennessee.
Hey.
Kim, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. You're online with us live, and I'm hoping you have a question or a comment.
Well, my comment is a lot of times women have low self-esteem. And until they fall in love with themselves, they will not accept anything other than the best. So I think sometimes we need to look at ourselves and figure out if we love ourselves or not.
Okay. I missed that up. The last word you said, low self-esteem, and what was it after that? You said to look at ourselves and lack of love. What, it was something else that you said, and
no,
I wanted to jot it down.
They actually need, when we accept bad boys into our lives, that sometimes comes from low self-esteem.
Okay.
We feel like Tammy said, our fathers weren't around. Our fathers didn't show us what a real man is supposed to treat us like. When we have a man in our lives like our fathers are there. He take us out on dates. He show us what a real man is supposed to do, how a real man is supposed to treat us. Then when we start dating or when our young girls start to date, they're not going to accept anything less than what their fathers did. So they won't accept that bad boy. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So it won't be a situation where they'd be going, I need your love, I need you to love me, because I didn't have a father to love me.
Right, right. I think you're exactly right, Kim. I love to hear, matter of fact, I have a cousin, Victoria, who, and I don't know if I even bought this up to her when she said it, but she's always saying, you know, my dad doesn't say that to me. My dad doesn't treat me like that. You know, I'm not going to let him
right.
do it. And gives them a foundation. And I think if you grow up as a young girl, and this is how love is, this is how, you know, if your dad is only to love you, only willing to love you, you know, not completely, not fully commit to being a father, whether it's, again, emotional,
mm-hmm.
financial. And I want to make sure we put emphasis on that, because it's better for a child to have you emotionally than it is financially. And I
would like
women to take that back as well. If you got a man that cannot provide right now financially, you should not. And I know a lot of women will not agree with me on that, but it should not affect that father being into that child's life emotionally.
That's correct. I definitely agree with you. What I told my brother was that he needs to take my niece out on a date. She's getting to the age now where when she gets to high school, boys are going to approach her. So she needs to know how she wants to be treated. So if my brother take her out on a date, he can open the door for her, he order her food for her, he show her, wine and dine her, let her see what it is that she's, how she's supposed to be treated.
Right.
So
I agree. Great.
And so
well,
that is what, yeah, that is, it's so
okay.
important to me, so important.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anything else? Are you your first time listener? And
I am a first-time listener, Tammy, and Pika.
Thank you.
You're
please
welcome.
Share.
I love it. Great topic.
Okay, thanks a lot. Please share the word.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
I want to comment on a lot of what Kim is saying. A lot of that is this strong lack of love that a lot of the women are feeling due to choosing these relationships and staying in these relationships. When there's a low, you know, sense of self-value, when there's a low sense of self-worth, we tend to, you know, it tends to become a cycle and almost like a chain of just continuing to get into these relationships looking for self-worth. And a lot of the reasons I feel that you choose based on the value you have of yourself. You stay based on the value that you feel, your worth. And I believe that you settle based on the fact that you accept you don't deserve anything better. And after a period of getting into a cycle of choosing, making the wrong choices, after you get into a cycle of making the wrong choices, you begin to feel like you don't deserve anything better. And so a part of you, with that value system, you begin to feel like you're a failure. And in feeling like you're a failure, you begin to punish yourself. You may be unaware that you're punishing yourself, but you begin to do this. You believe that this toxic relationship is, it becomes a self-inflicted punishment. You feel that you deserved it based on some form of past shame and past guilt. You begin to feel guilty. And so, you know, just like I said, with being equally yoked, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, don't be equally yoked with unbelievers, for what do the righteous have what does the righteous and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And so with the value system, a lot of us weren't taught a healthy value system. We have to go back and figure out where our value system was taught to us. Was it taught to you through your family, through your parents? Was it taught to you through church? Was it taught to you through your peers? Or did you teach yourself your own value system? You know, is it something you taught yourself, or is it something that you've allowed God to instill and put into you? Because if we go back and figure out where that value system came from, we'll be able to remove some of the things that are negative or that are wrong or that are untrue and begin to place truth into our value system of who we are. Okay, I think we have Ed. Are you on with us?
Yeah, this is Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, ladies?
We're good. We're good. We want to tell everybody that who we have on. You are the famous, what should we call this? You kind of steered all this off with what you want do, 100 Women Will. So to the audience that has been listening with us all along, they know that we talked about this comment generated a huge conversation. So if you don't mind, it did, yeah. So if you don't mind, kind of share with us. Ed and I had a chance to talk in great length on Saturday, and he explained, you know, that comment and just his take on where we are as women today and men. So, Ed, if you don't mind, would you kind of go into depth as much as you'd like to?
Okay. I don't mind at all, ladies. But let me just say this. I can only imagine how the conversation and the responses were previously in reference to what I stated. Basically, what I meant when I said that what you won't do, 100 women will do, is just that. And that's not being, I mean, I'm not saying that being conceited or anything like that. Basically, from a guy, a single professional male, I mean, we definitely know our value as well. So when we meet a woman that's not willing to give us what we want, not only sexually, but emotionally, I mean, we definitely feel that we have more options than we've ever had previously. I mean, that's basically, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. And, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's not, and, you know, just to piggyback on, or just to speak on what you guys were talking about earlier about the bad boy, all bad boys are not just bad, meaning bad men or, and you didn't say that. I'm just saying that you can be a bad boy, which I probably would be perceived as a bad boy. The way I grew up, now I'm totally different. I still have that in me, but totally different. Work in corporate America, you know, work very hard to get where I am. But, you know, definitely women should know their worth. I totally agree. I definitely agree that upbringing, father figure being around, everything that you guys spoke on, I mean, it's definitely, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, without a doubt.
Okay.
But, you know, what? I mean, but any questions you have to me, I can definitely try to expand a little bit further.
I have one question. Well, maybe
okay.
Several. What, and I don't know how you want to go into this, as a man, I know we talked about what would you tell your daughter, your nieces, your nephews, as a man talking to women who want to portray that virtue, who want to be the virtuous woman, what would you say we as women, because we talked about our feeling, Tika and I, that we are as women, I think we have given you guys all of the control. You saying, and not saying that's a bad thing, like you said, on your part, on a man having all these options, whereas you're saying more than ever before, you have all these options. I take that personally, just me speaking, not for everybody. I take that as women, we are just not what we used to be. We are not, I think, we are not in line with God. So kind of take that in.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't just say that you're not. I mean, to a certain extent, but let me just see the best way to put this. I mean, you have a lot of good women out there. You have a lot of women that are on top of their game, that know what they want, that were raised right by their mother and father, that were raised in a home with both. But you can only teach your kids so much growing up. I was raised in South Memphis, in the hood, but my dad wasn't in the home for after a certain period, but he was a politician. So, you know, part of my life I spent with him in the suburbs. The other part was in the hood. So I saw both sides. That made me the person I am today. Women do, they put too much into me. And I tell my cousins this when they call me to say, hey, Because why, you know, I have a good job, I'm on top of my game, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm attractive, why can't I find a good man, why men aren't about nothing, et cetera. And I tell them simply, you know from day one, I mean, this is real life, you know from day one when you meet a guy, I mean, you know what they're about. I don't think it takes several conversations. I don't. And if you choose to continue pursuing that person or allowing that person to pursue you, start going out with that person and ultimately having sex with that person, and we all know that once sex gets involved, I mean, it takes things to a totally different level. I mean, feelings get involved, emotions, and women are very emotional creatures. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. So it changes the whole scope of everything. What would I teach my child? I mean, I have a 9-year-old daughter that's, you know, that lives with her mother. She's remarried. I have a son by the same mom. And my kids are with me all through the week. Just took them to Florida this week, get my son his braces, fan out of my pocket. I mean, I do everything with my kids. My kids are my world. You know, me and the mom have a great relationship. But I teach my nieces. I raise them. I have 3 nieces that are teenagers. And I help them with their cheerleading fees, all of their dues, all of this stuff. Yeah, I'm still, I would think, probably a bad boy. I would be deemed, from a lot of people's perspective, as a bad boy. But what I teach them, and I come to them straight from the hip, guys, you have dogs out there that, you know, especially young guys that have not grown up yet, then you have lowlifes that are definitely going to try to take advantage of you, the situation, definitely going to want you for just your sex, what you can do for them. And what I tell them, I mean, don't fall for it. I mean, I go a little bit deeper. You know, I don't know how deep I can go on the radio, on, you know, on this state, on this, in this format. But, you know, Tammy, as we spoke the other day, the conversation, it gets a little bit deeper, you know. So right. I just lay it all out to them with my 9-year-old daughter. Yeah, I don't give her everything, but we hold really great conversations. I mean, on a daily basis. Like the other night, she called and was like, "Dad, I miss you. I just dropped her off." She was like, "I miss you. I want you to come get me." I didn't ask any questions. I had something to do, actually. I was going to meet some friends, and I stopped what I was doing. I went and picked her up. We stayed up talking and just, you know, had a good time. And I picked her up without my son. And I typically don't get them one without the other unless we're going to a function or something for that particular child. And typically they're still both with me. But, I mean, my son, he wasn't bothered by it. You know, I picked her up and we just had a father and dad, you know, night. But, I mean, I talked to them. I mean, I'm very open with them. And my nieces, like I said the other day, I just talked to them recently. And I told them, you know, are you guys having sex? I can only go by what they're telling me, you know. Right. Are you guys having sex? Don't do it. You know, I'm not telling them be careful. No, hell no. Don't do it. These little guys don't want to do nothing but destroy your life, get you pregnant. I mean, and basically, you know, and it carries over. I mean, it's not just the guys that are 15 and 16. You know, I'm 38. You have guys my age, older, that are womanizers. There, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been out, I mean, around the block a few times. But I was raised by a different type of person. I mean, I still believe that a man, when he's married, he should pay the mortgage. He should pay the majority of the bills when he's married to a woman. You know, that's how I was raised. So it's all about upbringing. It's a cycle.
I think, Ed, the difference, and after talking to you, I mean, I was very candid with you about my thoughts on what hearing that comment instantly put you in a category, I think, for me, as a bad boy. But after hearing, I think the difference is, it sounds like if you're such a bad boy, then be able to tell, and I'm talking about guys who, I guess, first they are considered as bad boys. I think the difference is you are very upfront with women as to, I don't want a relationship. This is what I want. And what I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if a woman decides, okay, after hearing all this and realizing, like you said, after the first time a woman meets a guy, I agree, first, maybe second, but surely by the third time, you know what type of person you're dealing with or what you're dealing with. And I think as women, if we make the choice, we look over all those things of, I can fix him. We talked about that earlier. I can fix him, or he pursued me, and that kind of thing. Then I think once you step into the game knowing the game, you know, if you go to watch football and it's a baseball game, what, you're going to leave. I mean, that's just simple. You should just remove yourself from that situation. But I think women are not doing that because they think, I can fix him. He must really like me because we're doing this, we're doing that. Overlooking those true traits, overlooking those things that, you know, if you go to church or if you're trying to change your life, you got a person who's totally not into that, totally, you know, not ready for that right now, then maybe that's not the person for you. You can't try to draw him in through you. A person is grown and has to be willing to make those changes. So I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you being candid about that. And, again, I think you kind of really got this going because I never forgot that phrase. I never forgot that. And I thought, I was like, what does he mean by that? And what are we doing to make men think that they have it like that? But
And I didn't mean it in a disrespectful way. I mean, I know it probably sounded like that, but that's not how it was really meant to be, you know.
Right.
It's just, I mean, to a certain extent it's true, but it wasn't meant to come across like that. Yeah, I mean, everybody has options. I mean, if you don't have options, you don't value yourself, you know. It's just the way
I look at it. Like you said, there's more options now.
The scale is definitely tilted toward men. I mean, and we know it. I mean, we definitely know it. I'm telling you straight up from a single guy that, you know, that I know. Yeah, we are aware. And women, that doesn't mean that a woman should just settle for anything. Settle for a guy that has two women that's with you a couple of days of the week and he's with another woman or he's not returning your calls or your texts and you're supposed to be in an actual relationship. No, that's unacceptable. You shouldn't accept that. You shouldn't accept it.
Right.
Are women accepting it? Yeah, definitely. Definitely
right.
Women are accepting it.
You know, Ed, you are right from the standpoint that every weak woman will accept anything that a man tells her. But what women have to do is start waking up, opening their eyes, and realizing that I'm not supposed to be this weak that I allow any man to tell me anything. It is a ton of women that are truly, completely out of line with God's will. And when you're out of line with God's will, there's a weakness that you cannot choose right on your own. You can't recognize right on your own. You can't see clearly on your own.
Correct.
So a weak will fall for every trap. A weak woman will fall for everything a man tries to tell her. A strong, confident, whole woman who knows God and who knows who she is won't fall for any of those. So there's a difference
and
in that set of
I
women. And most
you.
Those women, those weaker women and those women with the self-esteem issues, those are the women that we want to address, and those are the women we're reaching out for to build them and empower them so they won't fall for all of these areas in life that pull them down and that, you know, keep them on that path of wrong choices. So those
are two different things. I couldn't agree with you more.
This is Tammy, and I agree with you both to a certain extent, but I do think that there are probably more women that are in the church, and I know there's a difference between being in the church and having a true relationship and knowing who you are in Christ, but I think we all can fall to this bad boy syndrome. I think whether you are, because we know a woman can be up today, down tomorrow, and I think depending on where you come into her life, she could easily be prey to it. We really have to be willing, even as a woman, like I think you were saying, Tika, to change your mindset and be able to see these people or this person, man or woman, again.
But a woman
just
knows.
She knows.
A woman does know whether or not she's weak or strong. And when you are weak,
but most women
don't recognize, okay, if I'm weak to this, I need to realize where my strength comes from. Your strength doesn't come from yourself. So if you're weak to this, and if this is something you fall prey to, being hemaholic, like that song that we said, if it's something you fall prey to, then you know, okay, my strength doesn't come from me, so let me reach to a high power so I can have the strength to resist this type of temptation.
Exactly, and I'm all for that. I hear what you're saying, but what I'm saying is I don't want to make it seem like it's these women that are not, you know, in this sanctified set, so to speak, because I think a lot of women who are in that world as well sometimes make the same mistakes.
They actually
and sometimes
do.
I really think that they do. It's not limited
to a certain sect. I mean, and I wasn't, I mean, I don't know, maybe my, I mean, let me say this. It's a turnoff for me to be a weak woman. I mean, that's me personally. I don't want a yes woman. I don't want a woman that would let me manipulate her, I mean, which I wouldn't do that anyway. But that's a total turnoff. I mean, that's to me. Maybe I'm different than, I mean, but the guys I associate with, I don't hang around with a lot of guys, but the guys I associate with, we're like-minded and on the same level. But those other guys out there that will
and it should be vice versa for a woman. It should be vice versa for
yeah.
a woman. That should be a turn off for a woman to
Correct.
See or recognize those character traits in a man. That should be a turn off because that's a true sign of weakness. Any man that's manipulative. Mm-hmm. Any man that's manipulative and just wants to try to coerce her outside of, you know,
of
what
she's
you
trying to
do.
If she's trying to, and you know, I'm going to say this, and ladies, I'm going to have to go in a minute. But let me say this, and I appreciate you guys having me and allowing me to speak for a second. But women definitely have mm-hmm. to, I mean, they are so consumed with having a man. And, I mean, I tell my sister, my cousins, this women that I know, why don't you get consumed in your children if you have them? Get consumed in your church. Get consumed. I mean, you can still enjoy life and be involved in church. So I'm not, you know, I mean, get consumed in something else. Why do you? And I guess I'm not a woman, so I can't say. I'm a single man. I could go out every night, and I'm not saying it like that, being conceited. I could go out and be with a different woman every night, but I'm on a different level. It's not that serious to me. And when I see women that, I may meet a woman, and she calls me, I mean, numerous times within the first 2 days. I mean, just throwing herself, you know, like, hey, what's up, yada, yada, can I get to see you? When can I see you? You know, sending the immediate text messages, hey, you know, when can, I mean, basically coming on. And I'm not talking about, and I'm talking about educated women, you know what I'm saying? I mean, well-versed the whole nine. So it's not just an isolated thing. It's across the board. I mean, I love and respect women, but women definitely have to, and you guys have a great format. You're trying to empower sisters, and that's definitely a good thing. I mean, it's definitely a good thing because women are really, they are so consumed with having a man or to say they have a man, you know. And I can't understand that. I can't even understand that. Why is that so important? Is it an age thing? I mean, by the time you're 38 or 40, do you feel like, or 35, do you feel like you have to be in a, you know, relationship? You have to be in one. I mean, is that it?
You know,
I mean, I'm asking. Do the majority of women actually feel that way?
I don't know about the. I think the majority of the women feel that way. My opinion. I think we still have Kim on. I'm going to bring her back on because just knowing Kim, I bet she has something to say. Kim, I have you back on. But I think the majority of the women do feel this way, like they just have to have a man or just to be able to say I have a man to that friend or to their work buddies rather than just say, no, I'm single right now. I choose to be, and here's why, if you have to go into that. But I think it becomes – you know, like Tika said, lack of self, and Kim, like lack of self-esteem, self-worth, lack of that father figure plays a huge role. Kim, you're online, so if you have a question, I brought you back on.
Yes, they have to have self-love, because until they fall in love with themselves, they will accept anything. You understand what I'm saying? They can't be by themselves. They can't do things by themselves because they feel like I'm worthless without
right.
a man giving them that pat on the back.
Right. It's like Ed, I was telling you, for me, I'm okay with going to the movies by myself. Most of the time I do. Go eat by myself, whatever, because I absolutely love some Tammy. And that's just, it is what it is. And I'm not going to settle for less. That's just, I would die alone. I would die with not a man in my life rather than put up with the drama and the mess. That's just,
exactly.
And you shouldn't. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's Kim. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I agree. You ladies shouldn't. And I wouldn't say anything. I'm not saying this just because. I'm being as honest and straightforward as I can possibly be. Speaking for myself as a man, single, I'm asked often, are you really happy being single? I mean, are you really happy? Are you looking for anything? You know, I've been out of my last relationship for about 3 years. My answer to them, and I'm going to try to make you guys feel my answer, I am happy as hell. And I don't mean this because I'm happy with me. I love the place I'm in. I asked God years ago to take me away from bad situations and put me in a good situation. I've never been the happiest in my life. I'm happy. I can't express that enough. I go to sleep at night happy. I wake up every morning happy. And most women think when a guy says that, he's single, he looks halfway decent or whatever, he's saying that because he has options. He can be with different women on a given night or a different night. It's not about that. The majority of time, I'm at home by myself. I'm watching a movie. I love to cook. I'm chilling. I get entertainment out of that. I get joy out of it. I'm with my kids throughout the week. So, and that goes both ways, male and female. That's why I can't fathom the idea of somebody not being happy with themselves. Feeling like you need someone. And there's nothing wrong with being in a relationship. If it's a good relationship and it's feeding both parties, that's great. I would get in one tomorrow. But based on the situations I've been in, and I know how hard it is to get out of one, I couldn't ask for anything better,
Yeah.
I just don't understand why, people feel like they must settle. You see from day one that this person is full of drama. They're a liar. They're barely working. They don't really have any goals. So they're not even on your level, period. But you still continue, to associate with them. And when you continue to do that, it progresses and progresses more. And you're in, and then at that point, you guys are entangled with one another, So it's a cycle. So you're going from one bad relationship to another.
Right. That's true. You're going from you're never alone, but you're never alone. You never have a chance to find out who you are between the relationships.
Right.
Because as soon as you met one guy, you met somebody else.
Right. Kim, hold on just a second for me, Kim. We have a caller that's been holding, and I'm not sure who this is. I've lost track, but this is 0850, the 901 area code, the last 40850. Did you have a comment, caller, question?
Hey, Tammy.
Hi. Who do we have here?
This is Chris, Tammy.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. Yeah, I feel it.
Good.
I have to say is, the more, like women, like you were saying, women is emotional and, more emotional and stuff like that. All I have to say is, the more closer you get to God and the more you're planted in the church and the more you, continue to seek Him and stuff like that, the more emotionally stable, the more you're getting to see things, the more the Holy Spirit reveals to you about certain things. And, just all together, you would be so strong. You know what I'm saying? And all this points to, all this stability and strength and everything, all that comes from a personal relationship with Christ. And it all aims back to being in His presence and spending more time with Him. You just be good, and the women, men too, human beings themselves, they will be way more stronger on a greater scale than to try to everything in their natural means to try to satisfy the void that only God can fill.
Right.
What I'm saying? But they try to fill the void. They're trying to fill something over and over again. They try to fill it by jumping relationship to relationship to relationship, stuff like that. And we're not realizing that these just temporary stuff. It can't fill that God-sized void. They're not big enough. And once you feel that, people get confused with fulfillment and, like being complete. Women, they get with me and they be like, oh, I feel complete. Oh, Jesus Christ makes you complete. When you feel complete, then you can, you feel whole. You ain't got to worry about men and women or whatever. Because you already have that wholeness. You already have that fulfillment. Of course, that desire still lingers or whatever. You can be with family and stuff like that. But can't no man or woman make another man or woman, just complete.
Right. You have to have that for yourself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Chris. Any comments or question on that? And, Ed, I'm not sure if you have to go. I know you're at work, and I thank you for making the time.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I appreciate it. And, I'm about to go, so I can finish up here.
Mm-hmm.
Chris,
yeah,
great response.
Okay.
And I couldn't agree more as far as on definitely having a spiritual connection. I mean, you have to have that, you know, to be where you want to be. So you ladies and everybody, you guys have a great night.
You too. Thank
you. Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay. Was there anything else, Chris or Kim?
No, that's all I have to say for at the moment. You know what I'm saying? My landlord's over here and there work, you know, asking questions and stuff like
okay.
that. So that's why I'm breaking up. But, you know, like I said, you know, it's just, you know, it comes from your strength. You know, it's all that aims from the source, which is, you know, your inner self, the relationship with God. And that's the source within you that will enable you to be strong and all this here type stuff.
Okay, well, thanks again for taking the time outside of work to call in, and we appreciate you listening to the show.
Oh, no problem, me, Dan. I'm at home, though, not at work, so. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, no problem.
All right. Kim?
Yes?
Okay, thanks. Do you have any other comments or questions?
No, that was good.
Okay, well, thank you again. You know, shout out to you as a first-time listener. We've taken all the calls that we have in queue. Tiku, do you want to sum it up? I guess I can sum it up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. We've got 8 seconds, 8 minutes. 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to find the steps and the ways to allow them to feel more empowered. With making these choices, these are choices of the values that we have of ourselves, and we settle for lack of an understanding that we deserve anything better. And so when you're full of guilt and when you're full of shame and when you're full of all these other things, like Chris said, it's that void that you have. Nothing fills that void but God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And we may try over and over again, and we may try and reach for someone and figure that it's something we can do or say or coerce them or convince them to be with us or to stay with us or you know, in these relationships that we get into, a lot of times we wind up staying in those unhealthy relationships for those reasons. But with the guilt and with the shame, those are just all sins. Those are all sins that only God can release us of. But if we feel that it's something that we can take care of on our own, we constantly are running and searching and seeking and trying to figure out, how do we fix this? How do I feel better? How do I feel whole? How do I feel complete? How do I take away this brokenness? How do I take away this pain? How do I stop these tears? We will reach and search and walk and we just go on endlessly trying to figure out how to fix this problem. And it's not something that we're able to fix. I don't know why we tend to forget that we have a creator. And if we have a creator who has simply let us know everything that he's given us, the way he's given his son to die for our sins, we don't, it's like we sit in church and we say, yes, we believe, we understand this, but we truly don't believe what's told to us, what's given to us, what's been given to us since childhood. And not everybody was given that option to be up or grow up in church, or no one was placed in their life to teach them these things, but it is actually there. And for those, it is available. And for those who don't understand, if once you've tried every option of doing it your way, there is another way. And even if you don't even know where to begin, stop and begin and just asking and praying and asking God, just show me, lead me, guide me where it is that I'm supposed to go. Because it is going to be a time when you realize I've run through so many obstacles, I've hit so many walls, and, you know, we no matter what, these are areas that you can overcome. These are obstacles that you can make it through. These are things that God can take care of if you would just place it in his hands, if you would just surrender. We don't know what it means to surrender, not surrendering to a human being, but to our creator.
Okay. We have a caller just come in queue that they have a comment from the 770 area code, last 4 8026. You have a comment or question? We have about 5 minutes to go.
Yes, this is your cousin Ivy from Atlanta. Just calling to let you know that I enjoyed the talk show, and this is my first time listening in. Well, second time. I listen in with Mom. But and I love it. Diane and I, we listen to the whole thing, and we love it. And maybe next time I have some comments, I let it run out on it. It was so good, I just couldn't stop the talk right then. But I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Looking forward to having y'all come in on the next show as well.
Okay, darling. Okay. Love you now.
Love you, too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We have just about 4 minutes, and there's something, Tika, you had a verse about renewing the mind. I don't know if you said that, I missed it, but could you read that, and then I want to tell them one thing.
One thing, well, I just want to mention is a book, a study on the spiritual journey in terms of Bernadette Roberts, and we don't have time for me to just really go over that. But in the transformation, Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." And so, you know, one of the things we got to realize that we are a child of the Most High. So there's nothing you can do, no sin you've done, nothing is so great that you know, it can change or remove or destroy the purpose and the reason that God has created you. You were created for a purpose, with a purpose. So your failure to recognize this is through your life choices. But even though your failure to recognize it is through your life choices, you need to recognize that you're not damaged goods and you're not a failure. You're a child of the Most High. And at any time, you can realign your will with God's will.
Right. And this is something that I've wanted to just to tell you guys to do for those of you who are willing to do this. And the reason I asked Tika to share that with you, because when you talk about renewing the mind, I don't think we completely understand how much our mind holds. I just really don't think we understand how much our mind holds. For instance, and if you all will do this, I'd love to hear you next week tell me how it worked out for you. But this is something that I used to speak with Brandon and I consistently, because I started to notice how often we go back to that place, even if it's a place that doesn't feel so good. It's something as simple as move your trash can every so often. And I'd like for you to do that tonight. Move your trash can from wherever it usually is. If you will just move it somewhere
for 24 hours.
Be mindful of how many times you go back to where it was.
It's
a familiar place. It's where without thinking, you go back there. Another example of, I always think I must be losing my mind when the utilities go out, you know, lights go out, you know, they've not cut them off, you guys, they're a storm. And I go, I know the light's off. I have the candles burning, and I flick the light on. And I think, now this, it's so funny you have to laugh because you think I'm losing my mind. But another thing reminds me of, you know, in working with the school system, you look at a child who has iron burnt on his back. This is real stuff. And you are preparing to have this child removed from the home. And he looks at you with the biggest tears. I want to go home to my mama. The same mom who is responsible for all these iron marks on your back where the skin is peeling off your back. And you sit and look at this child in just awe, because how can he want to go back to what he knows?
The creatures of habit.
That's right.
With
it's what
habit,
he knows.
We want to go back to what's familiar.
Right. We don't want to leave what's familiar, no matter how awful it is for us, no matter how it makes us feel, no matter how bad he or she is to you. You want to stay rather than do the work or feel like you are worthy of something better. And believe me, you are worthy of something better. That's what we want to say to you tonight. I hope we've not offended any man, because I think that there are some good men out there.
I know we're about to wrap up our show, but our next show, we want to have another show where our next show is with understanding why men get involved and relapse and return to toxic
unhealthy women.
So we're going to go
and lean on the, you know, we'll do it from the opposite direction on our next week's show.
Right.
So this is something we need both ends of the spectrum on this, understanding from both ends of the spectrum.
Again, thanks to everyone. First time callers, thank you. Repeat callers and listeners, certainly thank you. We cannot go this without you. We have just about 27 seconds to go. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and sign off. Again, thanks to everyone. Have a good night. Be blessed. And connect again next Monday, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
Be blessed.
Thank you.
Good night.
That was good.